Hello and welcome to the debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us right here at Press TV. Well, the chaos in Syria just continues to get more confusing as the Syrian military continue to gain ground. The insurgents not only continue to fight the military, but are now turning their guns on each other. The power struggle continues between the Western, Turkish, and Arab-backed insurgents. Even one of the commanders of the so-called Free Syrian Army was killed by other insurgents, which seems to be the trademarks of a group which the Russian President Vladimir Putin referred to as organ eaters. So are these the representatives of human rights that Washington and its Arab and Turkish allies are pushing to take over Syria? Stay with us as we take a look at the latest out of Syria.
The Syrian army pressing ahead with its operations to purge more areas of foreign-backed insurgents across the Arab country. The Syrian forces have regained control of much of Al-Qabun neighborhood in the capital, Damascus. Elsewhere, government troops ambushed a group of militants sneaking into Syria from neighboring Jordan. Clashes have also been reported in several other parts of Syria, including Homs. Opposition sources have accused the government forces for using long-range missiles and heavy artillery to pound civilian areas in the central city. With the insurgents on the defensive, Syrian forces have once again come under attack from an outside force, Israel. Media outlets quote American officials as saying that Tel Aviv recently launched several airstrikes against Syrian forces near Latakia. The airstrikes allegedly took place on July 5th and targeted army depots. The Syrian opposition had earlier reported a series of explosions in the area. Israel did not comment on the report. It has carried out several air attacks on government forces in recent months. Damascus has accused Israel of seeking to help the insurgents through such strikes. Meanwhile, reports coming out of the insurgent-held areas say divisions are growing among the militants. Insurgents from the so-called Free Syrian Army and Al-Qaeda offshoots have reportedly clashed with each other in several regions, including Bab al-Hawa border crossing on the Turkish border and the northern city of Aleppo. Earlier, Al-Qaeda insurgents killed a commander of the Free Syrian Army in Aleppo. The infighting among the insurgents is said to be reflecting divisions among regional countries supporting them, like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey. Similar divisions reportedly exist within the foreign-backed opposition. The opposition has been sidelining members affiliated to Syria's Muslim Brotherhood from its leadership. This happened in the opposition's latest meeting in Turkey. Regional media say the move has been done under pressure from Saudi Arabia. Many have serious doubts if the foreign-backed opposition, which is a chaotic collection of conflicting groups, can bring democracy to Syria.
Well, I'd like to welcome my guests to the program. Sarah Flanders out of New York is from International Action Center. And out of Beirut, Jihad Morakadi, political analyst. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let us start it off with Ms. Flanders in New York. What is going on now between these groups of fighters, the ones who are fighting the Syrian government, as we see more and more this infighting taking place and turning the guns on each other? Why are we seeing this at this time?
Well, this has, from the very beginning, been an assortment of thugs, mercenaries, religious fanatic forces that are based on sectarian hatred, armed and financed outside of Syria, whether from U.S. and NATO countries. We could look at Saudi Arabia, Jordan, bases in Turkey. All of this is an international effort to pull down Syria and do so with a whole collection of mercenaries who have no program. They don't even have a unified command, and now they're fighting each other for resources. They have no ability to provide for the population and no interest in providing the simplest things like bread or medicine. And they are up against a cohesive Syrian army that has shown the ability to survive and sustain itself and change and adapt even its tactics and measures to meet this outside army. Now, the most important thing about this army, this military force, Is it now they're fighting each other because they lack any cohesion even of purpose? So they're fighting each other over resources, over booty, over equipment. They're really connected as death squad groups, used to only military means, unable to come together even in any political form. And you can see why the U.S. and Israel and also the monarchies of the region would want to destroy Syria and pull it down without any plan on what would come next. But now the very forces that they are all in different patchwork arming are at each other's throats.
Okay.
And that's what happens when you have a collection who has no program.
All right. Well, let me turn to Beirut and get Mr. Jihad Morakadi. And on this discussion, what about that? Ms. Morakadi, the stated goals of these groups are ridding Syria of oppression and for some of them, even the implementation of democracy. How is that possible when basically they don't even respect each other? And it seems that oppression has become very, very much the norm amongst these groups.
First of all, let me say that I do not agree with the analysis of your guests in New York for a very simple reason, because I could turn the table around, and for me the thugs is the Syrian government and the Syrian regime. Now, with regards to the people fighting each other, yes, of course, in all revolutions, not everybody sees eye to eye in everything, and
but all due respect, Mr. Morakadi, all due respect, we're not talking about eye to eye. We're talking beheading one of the leaders of the FSA. Isn't that a little bit more than not seeing each other eye to eye?
Well, I was going to come to that, because when you look at the incident itself, when these people are fighting each other in certain places because they do not see eye to eye, this is one thing. When you are beheading or killing a leader of one of the Syrian Liberation Army, then you are actually trying to have some sort of major and serious clash, because you are provoking a serious clash between the two factions of the opposition. The question I ask myself is, the Salafists who did that used to be friends with the Syrian regime. We all know how friendly they were with the Syrian regime when they were in Iraq. So the real question is, fighting each other is something, but killing a major commander of the Syrian Liberation Army is designed to provoke a major clash between the two sides of the opposition.
Okay.
And I'm not certain the Syrian government would not be very happy about that. I think they may have a hand in it.
Ms. Flanders, I'll let you answer that. A very interesting analysis by Mr. Morakadi of groups that have been supported all by the United States. And now he's basically saying that perhaps it's something that the Syrian government is involved in. Your take on his comments, ma'am.
Well, I couldn't disagree more. His whole commentary is based on an absolute illusion. This is not a revolutionary upheaval. From the very beginning, this is a whole collection of forces who lack any legitimacy whatsoever. It's an artificial construct. It's groups pumped into the country from outside, mercenaries who are paid, and sectarian religious forces that have no interest in the people of Syria, who have existed in unity and in great cohesion for generations. They want to break all that up. And why is the U.S., why is NATO, why is Turkey, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, all these countries that have no interest in democracy funding these groups? They thought it would be easy. They predicted this would be over in a month. That was 2 years ago, more than 2 years ago. Actually, almost 2.5 years ago now. And with every month, they predicted that the end was near, that they would succeed, that they would prevail, all without any program whatsoever. They have no leadership even. The leadership outside the country of a hodgepodge of exiles themselves cannot meet or agree. And the forces on the ground, they're killing each other and robbing equipment from each other and setting up bank accounts in other countries outside. So you really see an assortment of some of the ugliest dogs of war, as they're called, who have no interest in a new Syria. And it's become clear to the population now that these forces have nothing to offer them except executions on the spot, without any legitimacy, without any legality, without any appeal. So the other speaker, I think, is existing on the page of U.S. Press releases, but certainly not in the realm of reality.
Okay, well, let's switch over. I want to get a comment in, if our producer could actually put comment number one on, that we can take a look at this, and let's listen up.
The truth is, the foreign mercenaries, terrorists, Islamists, are losing, and they are now fighting each other. I'm a Sunni Muslim, but I have always understood the bigger picture. This is not about Sunni versus Shia. Even the Doha debates polls statistically showed that 60% of Syrians back the government.
Well, what about that? Let me pose this question to Mr. Morikande. Mr. Morikande, do you think that with the situation as it continues to go on, and there are more and more atrocities that are being committed on the ground by these insurgents, that it seems that it's becoming more and more clear, if anyone was ever confused, that this is not a sectarian issue? Your take.
First of all, I beg to disagree with you, because atrocities have been committed by both sides, and more particularly on the side of the Syrian regime, because the insurgents do not have the kind of weapons and heavy weapons that the Syrian regime has. So when you talk about kind of towns being destroyed and so on from the air, obviously it is the Syrian regime which is destroying Syria from the air, from helicopters, and with their own tanks, because the insurgents do not have tanks. Second, I strongly disagree, in fact, with the fact that you are calling all these people insurgents and mercenaries. Do you remember that at the start of the Civil War, they used to go out for 9 months without firing one single weapon? For 9 months, they used to call it Selmiya, which is peaceful demonstration. And it was the Syrian regime shooting at these people, and they were not doing anything. Where were the mercenaries at the time? Can you please tell me? So now you're telling me that all these people who came out on the street for 9 months were mercenaries? I mean, how do you get that for 9 months? Mercenaries in Homs, mercenaries in Hama, mercenaries in Aleppo, in Derba, and so on? It is a way of deforming the information. And for your information, the lady in New York, I would just like to tell you, Ms. Ponders, that I follow the news not only through U.S. government sources, but through the Arab newspapers as well. The only difference is when I read the democratically newspapers, the democratic newspapers of Syria, because you seem to consider that Syria is a democratic government. Well, let me tell you one thing. You don't know anything about Syria. Syria is a police state, so there is no democracy in Syria. People are, it's a single party system, and that's all there is about it in Syria.
Okay, Ms. Flanders, let me get Ms. Flanders back in on this discussion.
Excuse me, so please don't tell me that Syria knows about democracy, because these people who are killing themselves, even though they're killing themselves, they know about democracy much more than Mr. Bashar al-Assad.
Ms. Flanders, turning to New York, Ms. Flanders, basically what our guest in Beirut is saying is that obviously what he says is that this group knows more about democracy than anyone else. So your take on overall his comments?
Well, first of all, it's up to the Syrian people to decide how to deal with all of the questions internally in Syria. The real problem and the war itself, and all war is an atrocity. All the forms and tactics used in war are an atrocity. The outside forces were funded from the U.S., from the based in special U.S. special forces based in Jordan, NATO bases in Turkey, arms flooding in from Saudi Arabia and Qatar. That's the outside intervention. That is not the Syrian people having discussion and
after
debate.
What?
There was, yes, there's opposition, as there is in every country. But that is not the armed forces of thugs and mercenaries who were paid also from outside.
How about the Syrian
that
people
is not
who are
a legitimate
fighting?
Opposition.
How
this
about
is
the
an
Syrian
artificial construct. There were Syrian people who have
for
now completely
months?
Separated themselves from these mercenaries and executors. And the reason that they have is because it's become clear to them that these mercenaries have nothing to offer, are not part of the Syrian debate whatsoever, and instead want to destroy everything that Syria is based on and create sectarian hatred. Are there any differences in Syria?
Because,
of course,
but Syria
there are
based,
in every single
on...
country, and it's up to the Syrian people to have a right to decide that without outside intervention, without an invasion of forces, without Israeli bombardment, without U.S. special forces in Jordan, without arms flooding in from Saudi Arabia, without mercenaries
and
on the ground,
decide?
Without backside bases in Turkey. And that is what exists today in Syria. And nevertheless, those forces are losing. They're completely losing. They're in disarray. They're killing each other, and they're looting from each other. So that, in every sense, shows they have nothing progressive to offer.
All right, well, let me switch back to our Facebook comments.
And they are losing.
Stay with me, both of you. Switching to Facebook comment number three. Facebook comment number three, if our producer can set that up so we can see it, please.
I think Bashar Assad should have stepped down when the people were protesting and was demanding re-election. Now weapon supplies to these protesters have made this into a civil war. I think peace should be brought and the UN should carry out the people's election.
Okay, what about that, Mr. Morakadi? Do you think that at this point in time that it would be wise to try to get the UN in on this? And your take on our viewer's comment?
I wouldn't agree more, because contrary to your guess in New York, I do not see at all any free will of the Syrian people, because the Syrian people have been used not to have any free will at all under the present regime. So yes, of course, if the UN was to take care of free elections, then you will know what the Syrian people really want. But also, when you tell me that these people for 9 months have been fighting, not fighting, demonstrating in the streets without any weapons, without calling it Sulmiya, peaceful demonstrations, and then you're trying to tell me why are they being armed now after the army has been shooting at them for 9 months? Of course they should be armed. I should be the first one to help them being armed. Of course they should. What do they do? Fight with their bare hands? How do you call these people mercenaries when they are all over Syria? Are the people of the opposition in Syria, okay, who are sitting in Istanbul after the Free Syrian Army, are these people democratic or are they not democratic? If they were not democratic, one guy would call all the shots, and that's it. They voted the other day to have the head of the Syrian front, and the guy who was voted in 56 votes to 52. You don't call this democracy? Then what do you call democracy? 99% of the vote? You don't know what the Syrian people want. How do you want to know what the Syrian people want if you not have free elections? If you have a police state, how do you expect a police state to behave? We have seen for the last 40 years of the Assad regime how people vote in Syria.
Okay.
They vote with a gun to their head. If you call this democracy, I don't.
Ms. Flanders.
Well, the other speaker seems to have absolutely no interest in democracy when he wants to ally himself with
absolute
feudal corrupt monarchies in Saudi Arabia and in Qatar.
We
you
are
think
talking
there's
about
any elections
I'm sorry, we're talking about Syria.
There?
Don't
you think the special forces in the
Syria.
Jordanian monarchy are democratic forces?
I don't
forces.
Care about what's happening
it's up
elsewhere.
To the Syrian
I'm talking about
people.
Syria.
Yes. Right. It's up to the Syrian people without outside intervention, which is exactly what he is supporting. The outside mercenary forces who have flooded into the country, who have set off bombs in every crowded marketplace, in schools, destroyed hospitals. These are the forces he is aligned with. And
Ms.
that
Ms.
is
Flanders, as you, Ms. Flanders, I want to pick up on a point you just mentioned.
Whatsoever.
Ms. Flanders, I want to pick up on a point you just mentioned. You talked about the other entities that are involved. I want to look at Saudi Arabia's role in this because many experts are now saying that what we're looking at as far as this infighting is actually something being encouraged by Saudi Arabia as it is trying to purge these groups of the Muslim Brotherhood because actually there is a power struggle between these countries who have allied these insurgents. And we're talking about, we know that it's involving Saudi Arabia, it's involving Qatar, and it's involving Turkey. Besides the Western countries. Your take, ma'am.
Well, yes, that a lot is being fought out within Syria that are proxy wars in terms of Saudi Arabia supporting some of the most sectarian forces. Fanatical forces, and then you also have Qatar supporting and Turkey supporting Muslim Brotherhood forces who are fighting with each other against the Free Syrian Army, and then you have lots of just mercenary forces who come in wherever there is war who will fight for pay, and forces shipped in from Libya, from all over the region. They're being recruited to fight in Syria without any program, without any understanding of what they're doing. So you have countries fighting each other, you have U.S. special forces in there, and you have at the very same time Israel bombing both weapons centers, military centers. How about that? Is this other speaker who's on today, where does he stand about the Israeli bombardment, about the U.S. intervention, about the special forces when he's talking about a democratic opposition in Syria?
Okay, Mr. Mukherjee, go ahead. You can answer that question.
People of Syria have a right, and they have the ability.
All right, we're just about out of time, Ms. Flanders. Let me give Mr. Mukherjee an opportunity.
Outside intervention.
Let me give him an opportunity to answer. Go ahead, sir.
Where do I stand on the U.S. supplying weapons to the opposition? I'm totally in favor, because on the one hand,
Israel.
Russia is supplying one side. I'm sorry? And Israel? Israel is having its own
Where
game.
Where do you stand on Israel?
Israel is just
Israel.
Hitting. I'm going to tell you, just a second, let me tell you.
30
Israel
seconds, go ahead.
Has every right to decide what is strategically important for it or not.
Even so bombing a sovereign country, is, sir? Even bombing a sovereign
yes,
country?
Yes, of course. Because Israel has always been bombing sovereign countries when it feels that its existence is in threat. Okay?
And so on that note, I am so sorry, but we are out of time. I appreciate you both for being with us out of New York in the International Action Center, Ms. Sarah Flanders, and out of Beirut, political analyst Mr. Jihad Markati. Thank you both for being with us, and thank you, Bria, for being with us on another debate. I'm Marzieh Hashemi, signing out from Tehran. Thanks so much, and goodbye.